Thank you for listening to this talk given at the Center for Spiritual Living, Midtown, Atlanta.
My talk today has a lot to do with both the Rumi poem and the song that she just sang. You know me, when I get up here, I like talking about the law of cause and effect because that's what our teaching's all about. And whenever I'm over here on this side of the podium, I want to say we're in the realm of cause. And then I point out everything that's really important over here in the world of effect. And so I love how the poem is sitting there saying, you know, take off your robe, unclothe it, you know, go naked. And what that is what Rumi is telling us to let all of this aspect go and come over here, stand in cause and be naked. And so that's that one poem. And then she's sitting here saying, marry me to this love over here in cause. You know, we're all stuck on being, we need to marry somebody over here in this cause and the kisses that we need to do on this side of effect over here and everything like that. But when you start understanding how we can love on this side, your life starts changing. So that's what my talk is today. We can go home. They've done everything already. So, but you know what? Goodness gracious. I announced my talk title last week, and you know what? I have never had more talk about my talk before I gave it than this week. So I had somebody midweek email me saying, David, I did what you said. Before I went to work today, I stood there in front of the mirror and went, goodness gracious, great balls of fire. And her day was really tremendous that day. And then yesterday I was at the grocery store, picking up some wonderful things to make a great Valentine's dinner, and so I did the hearty thing with green bean casserole. That's about the best I can cook for you. So anyway, but I was at Publix and I was buying those things. I see somebody from the center over there, and she's at the self-checkout, and I should have never done this, but I came up sneaking behind her like this, and I was like, can you buy these things for me? And she looked at me and she said, I almost pulled my mace out on you. And I was like, okay, I will never do that. And she turned and hugged me and said, Happy Valentine's Day. And you know what? Great balls of fire is what she said. So I was like, okay, we're already having talk about this even before we get to doing my talk. So I'm really excited about that. So this really grabs our attention on here, what this talk title is. And we all laugh when we sit there and go, great balls of fire. So this truly is a Southern saying, and it was even Scarlett O'Hara said, well, great balls of fire, right? You know, so even she was doing that. We know it's there. Some of the Southern Christian churches think it's very blasphemous to sit there and say great balls of fire. But the majority of us, believe it or not, know it from the 1957 song. 1957. Do you know that was 58 years ago? And here we all know that. Rolling Stone magazine, this is it as top of the top 100 songs of all time. Great balls of fire. It never did make the number one spot in the pop song, but it did make it number one in the country music song. So that's interesting to know as well. And the lyrics go something like this. You shake my nerves and rattle my brain. Too much love drives a man insane. You broke my will, but what a thrill. Goodness gracious, great balls of fire. Do you want me to sing it? No, you're right. The meaning of this really is, good heavens, wow, good heavens, wow. And just last week, just announcing my talk title, I mentioned that I was to be able to stand in front of a mirror naked and exclaim, great balls of fire. Meaning I want you to sit there and go, good heavens, wow, just by you standing there naked. So that's what I want to get into today, is kind of saying it's not necessarily the naked over here that I want you to say great balls of fire. It's the naked over in cause that I want you to understand to say, wow, great balls of fire. So being February, I wanted to talk about that passionate kind of love. We're still talking about love in the month of February. The 1st of February, I talked about Now Full of Love, the NFL. I even had somebody run out of here going, yeah, I'm now full of love with that. And so I'm speaking of passion, and not passion in an amorous way, but passion in a devoted kind of way. I want you to be passionate about yourself. I do want you to be passionate about your body. I want you to be passionate about your career, your financial situation, and your relationships. And not passionate because it looks great over here in the world of effect, but what your life looks like today. I want you to stand in the matter what your life looks like today, and just be very passionate about what it is this very second. I want you to be passionate about these things because of what you are. And what you are is something to consider. I know we've all asked this question, who am I? It's a good question to ponder and meditate on. I'm up at 3:30, 4 o'clock, Monday through Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, meditating on specific words, who am I, what am I, things like that. So who am I? But let me start with a few things that you're not first before you get into that. Believe it or not, you're not your body, your thoughts, your feelings, your career, your reviews, your money, your relationships, your accomplishments, your experience of life. You are none of those things. We are that which is aware of those things. We are mind. We are not what we see in the mirror. We are that which is doing the seeing. So when you stand there and look in the mirror, you truly understand, I am not what that is. I am the observer of what's going on in the mirror. It's all up here in your mind. When you put your mind on this simple truth, you have some freedom. But we don't think that. When we look in the mirror, we think what's the reflection is real, and that's truly me. But there's something that's so much bigger than what that reflection is there. And there's freedom in knowing that. This doesn't mean that everything that you accomplish over here is of no consequence. They're as important as you make them, but the key to a happy life is to always make yourself more important than what you do. Whatever happens over here, you need to make yourself more important than that. And how do you make yourself more important than whatever happens over here in the world of effect? Is truly understand where you're coming from. You are always greater than what you think. You are always greater than what you know. You're always greater than what you have, and you're always greater than what you do. Whatever happens over here, you're always greater than that. And what part of mind of you is always greater than all of that? Right up here, mind. That's the more important part. The cause aspect of you over here. We start off every single Sunday. Paul has a little bit more of an introduction than I do, but I get up here every single Sunday and I start off, such is the nature of life that all it asks and all it wants is the opportunity to appear. You are that opportunity, so am I. The opportunity is over here. When we announce the opportunity, we're not talking about the opportunities that show up. Maybe because you're in the right place at the right time. Maybe because you're a little bit lucky. Maybe because of something like that. That's not the opportunity that we're talking about when we announce that every Sunday. We are talking about the opportunity over here. How is that going to come out of cause? If we think the opportunity is on the effect side, we've been misguided. But unfortunately, until we come to a teaching like this of cause and effect, we think all of our opportunities come from that effect side. Sometimes we think we have to be born into the right family. We have to be a certain age. We have to have a certain skin color to have opportunities. We have to be married. We have to be single. And then from this platform, we must succeed from this platform that we're judged on. So whatever those things are that we're trying to launch ourselves because we are of our skin color, or that we're married or not married, or my age, whatever that is, now I'm trying to say, okay, let me succeed from that platform. Well, that's the wrong platform to be starting from. We should be starting from this platform, over here in the realm of cause. So I decide not to participate in that understanding that that's the platform I have to jump from. If we come with a greater understanding of ourselves and about such is the nature of life, what if we discover the sacred self? What if we start really listening to what this is? What if we discover the sacred aspect of ourselves? Now, the word sacred has long been given to that which is of God, and I use it in the same way, but not to describe this God that's up in the sky and punishes and rewards, but rather a life force that exists within every single person. That's what I call God, the life force that exists within every single person. You are sacred because the life force is within you, period. Humans are the only form of life that can appreciate their sacredness. This is because human beings, all human beings, are sacred. All human beings are sacred. Not because of what they have accomplished or what they can accomplish, but only because you exist. Are you sacred? Some people make sacredness a moral issue. They believe the most important thing in life is to know the difference between right and wrong, good and bad, and then live life accordingly. We can't make ourselves sacred. We can't keep ourselves from being sacred. You are sacred right now. We can only become aware of our sacredness. So with everything that's going on here, Rumi says, take off your robe, untie it, let it go down. Really be aware of your sacredness, what you have at the center of your being. Now, at the American Indian Church, they have a motto that says, everything is sacred. Everything is sacred. There's no qualifier here. It doesn't say that if you're blessed by the elders, then you're sacred. It doesn't say everyone that's worked toward world peace is sacred, or everyone who has upheld the traditions of the American Indian is sacred. No, the motto is, everything is sacred, period. So we need to get in touch with that sacredness. We need to dispel the myth that someone can bestow upon us this sacredness, or that we need to do something to become sacred, or be more spiritual, or more worthy, or more important to the universe than we already are. I want you to reveal the unconditional sacredness of life, your life, right now, just as it is. I want you to be able to stand over here, whatever's going on in your life right now, and truly understand you are sacred this minute. There's not a condition that needs to be lifted from you. There's not a job that you need or to let go of. What you understand is that you are sacred right now. And if you understood that you were sacred right now, you would exclaim, goodness gracious, great balls of fire. If you sense this sacredness, this life force, and bring it out into the open, you can use it as a tool to make your life a whole lot better. So it was Marianne Williamson, and I know there's argument about this, that said, our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate, our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. So when you come over here, you are powerful beyond measure. We're afraid of that. We don't know where we want to go with that. So no matter what you have going on in your life right now, are you adequate unto every need, is what they were saying. The fear is not that we are inadequate, but I just want to know, do you feel like you're adequate for every need? Right now we're in the Emma Curtis Hopkins class, and she studied this, saying there's the waiting adequate. You need to understand that over here is the waiting adequate. And we had some really tough discussions about that, because people were saying, David, I don't just want the adequate life. I don't just want that. But adequate in this sense does not mean being just barely sufficient. It means equal to the need. Equal to the need. So we have this waiting adequate that is equal to the need. If we come over here and see something that we want to have happen, we need to understand that we have the waiting adequate at our disposal when we understand our sacredness. It's ready to fulfill and equal to the need, whatever it is. So no matter whatever you have going on in your life right now, you are adequate unto every need. There is an aspect of you that is equal to the need this very second. Sometimes we don't feel it because we're looking over here in the world of effect for what that demonstration is. We need to come over on this side of ourselves, the cause side of ourselves, and know that. It's from this waiting adequate that you can use as a launching pad from which you can cause your life to look the way you want it, if you let it. So instead of the platform over there based on all the rules that the world has made up for us, what if your platform for success is coming over here saying, I have the waiting adequate? What if I step off in a job position knowing that I have everything within me to make that whole? Or when I'm standing to go before the doctor, that I have the waiting adequate to bring everything together for me so that it recognizes it in my body? So I want us to be very passionate about this side. I want us to realize that we are worthwhile right now. Realize that you're not worthwhile because you have fulfilled your dreams. You are worthwhile because you exist. Just by being able to stand on this side, just by being here, just that life portion. You're not worthwhile because you have a good job. You're worthwhile even if you haven't worked in 13 years. You're not worthwhile because you're loved by many people. You are worthwhile even if nobody knows your name. You're not worthwhile because your financial portfolio is enviable. You are worthwhile even if you're dead broke. You are not worthwhile for any of those things. I want you to understand you are worthwhile just because you exist. Period. Just by you being here. And it is from that worthwhileness, that sacredness, that can get you a new job, experience love and success, and build a financial portfolio that satisfies you. Something else happens, too, when we're over here. And Emma Curtis Hopkins talks about this as well. Know your sacredness is transcendent. What does that mean? Know your sacredness is transcendent. Emma Curtis Hopkins taught us this week, you are a transcendent being with transcendent power. Meaning, you're not subject to the limitations of the material universe. You're not subject to all these rules over here. When you understand that you're a transcendent being over here in the realm of cause with transcendent power over here already, your life is going to change. But we're the ones that need to recognize what that transcendence is. Unfortunately, we don't want to recognize our transcendence. We want to recognize more of the things over here. We identify ourselves by our sex, our name, our social security number, our hashtag name, nationality, our skin color, our sexual preference, or what you do for a living. Humans identify themselves as Republican or Democrat, married or single. The list goes on and on. These things may describe something about us, but none of them describe what we are. What we are. And you are life, and life is bigger than the way it expresses itself. However it expresses over here, you're so much bigger than that. Life is bigger than the way it expresses itself. Emma even said, and this is the greatest that I learned from Emma the first time that I realized, that if you see a spectacular sunset, I was telling the class that I was driving through the Everglades, and I was leaving Naples and driving to Miami, so that means that the sunset was in my rearview mirror, and I was driving across Alligator Alley. But when I saw my mirror and how lit up and how colorful it was, I had to pull over and stop and turn around and look at the sunset. It was a spectacular sunset, one of those ones that brings tears to your eyes. But Emma sits there and says, you know, as beautiful as that is, in cause, it's even more spectacular. In cause, it's even more spectacular. So life is bigger than the way it expresses itself. It expresses itself as that beautiful sunset, but life is bigger than that. This means that what you are transcends the way you are living as a human being. Something's bigger than whatever is showing up over here in your life. What you are transcends what you have accomplished and what you intend to accomplish. What you are transcends everything you've ever thought, said, or done. You are life, and that's the source of worthwhileness. That's all that it is, just over here. That's the sacred aspect of you. And I want you to reach for that sacred aspect of you. I want you to be passionately in love with that sacredness of you. If you've ever read Rumi, this is a lot of what Rumi writes about. Rumi just talks about being in love with that sacredness over here, being passionate about this sacredness. And if you ever heard David Leonard, who knows David Leonard or have heard David Leonard? He just wonderfully, he'll sit up here and cry when he's over here and understanding that this is how you love cause. This is how you love this. It's bringing tears to David's eyes. He can't even speak because he gets there. So this looking for your transcendent self is asking you to reach for something bigger than what we normally consider ourselves to be. Something that transcends all of human experience. And where do we find it? All right here. Right here. This is where it's at. It's within our awareness, but we're the ones that have to look for it. We have to look for that aspect of ourselves that doesn't seek approval. We have to look for that aspect of ourselves that doesn't need support or agreement from anyone. We need to look for that aspect of ourselves that is not looking for self-worth by the clothes we wear, the people we hang out with, or how many friends like us on Facebook, or what we do for a living. We have to look for something that feels separate from the world of experience, opinion, judgment. We need to look for something transcendent. That's within us over here. Jesus knew that a person's identity was not a religious issue, but that it was a spiritual issue that extended beyond all religions. So this is explained by Jesus going to the well and talking to the Samaritan woman. First and foremost, when you take the Bible study class, which we're doing later on in the spring, you learn that, first off, Jesus is not supposed to be talking to an unattended woman, number one. And number two, did you know she's a Samaritan? And Jesus was like, I don't see any of that. What I know is this. It goes beyond all religion. It goes beyond all sex when you understand that. Jesus transcended the material world. And he says, now you are sons and daughters of the Most High. So he did not sit there and say, which some of the churches want us to believe for all these thousands of years, is he did not say, I am enough and you are chopped liver. He didn't say that. He wants you to understand this transcendent self. You've been taught from the most spiritual family that we need to have a God-fearing family. How many people grew up in a God-fearing family? It was good. It was the American way. We needed to do that. You were taught to love God and fear God at the same time, and hoping you learn to do this in the correct proportion so that you were in God's favor and then you escaped any of his wrath that he had for you. But you know what? In God's eyes, we're sacred enough right now. The good news is that fearful God thing is a wrong idea. You're sacred enough right now. The Upanishads reveal something liberating to us in reference to seeking God's approval, and all they say is, Thou, God, seest me perfect. Thou, God, seest me perfect. This simply means we don't have to seek God's approval because God's approval, God's love, is unconditional. We already have it. In God's eyes, we're sacred right now and will always be sacred. Why? Because God isn't a person. God is the creative power of life that's placed itself within everything and everyone. God is the creative power that's placed itself within everything and everyone. We are always complete in and to that power. We're always complete in and to that power. We are human beings and we are life, and life is bigger than the way it's expressed. When we identify ourselves as transcendent life, we're able to put things in the right perspective, and in doing so, we're able to live our lives empowered by our own identity rather than looking outside of ourselves for someone or something to forgive ourselves. We don't need something or someone to save us. We don't need something or someone to forgive us or approve of us. We stop looking for transcendent because we are transcendent. That's what we've learned when you finally get in here. Our salvation is not out here. Our salvation lies within. Ernest Holmes, the founder of religious science, says, what you are looking for, you're looking with. This means that we have within ourselves something that transcends every conceivable consideration. We have something powerful, something creative, something spectacularly wonderful already within us. Metaphysicians call this God, they call it spirit, they call it mind, some call it Christ, some call it life, and what we call it, it doesn't matter. All that matters is that we acknowledge this part of our nature, our transcendent self, and learn how to use it to make our lives better. When we find this transcendent self within, we realize we've discovered what religions have been calling for thousands of years, God. But we don't want to use that G word so much, because the minute I bring up that G word, you automatically throw upon whatever I'm trying to say your definition of what that is. So we need to make sure, I always say, you need a bigger definition of God all the time. So we need to let that go so we don't say that too much about saying God. But when we finally realize that within us, no greater discovery could be made when you understand that. When you go to that place within your own mind that feels complete, guess what? You've entered the kingdom. When you realize it has nothing to do with that and everything that Rumi's talking about, that's when you've entered the kingdom. You found God, you found completeness, and we're always told before we attempt to do anything, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven. Before you go and do anything, I want you to sit there and say, great balls of fire. I want you to really understand that it's this aspect of you that is great, wow, and wonderful, not anything that's expressed over here. when you truly understand it on this side, great balls of fire, that's going to come out over here by this law that we have over here in our world of effect. We learn to say something like, my experience of life does not define me, for my identity can only be found in that place within my own mind that transcends my experience. Before I do anything, I remind myself that I am complete, and it is from and with my completeness that I proceed. Let me read that affirmation one more time. My experience of life does not define me, for my identity can only be found in that place within my own mind that transcends my experience. Before I do anything, I remind myself that I am complete, and it is from and with my completeness that I proceed. When you get to this point of knowing, you don't start seeking outside approval over here. For that is just someone else's opinion, and of course we give that a whole lot more power than we give our own opinion of ourselves about. We're all worried about what does somebody else think or anything like that. One of the very first books I picked up at the Atlanta Church of Religious Science back in 1990 was What Other People Think of Me Is None of My Business, because I was all over here worried about what other people were thinking of me. And if I realized it, when I finally, it took some classes and a lot of things to realize that has nothing to do with me. I'm on this side. I need to understand that. Georgia O'Keeffe, before any art opening, would place everything out for herself and come up with her own opinion of the pieces. And she would look at it and look all around. And after she did that, the critics can write what they please. She said, I have already settled it for myself. So flattery and criticism can go down the drain. I am quite free. She didn't do anything with any opinions or anything that's over here. When you know you are sacred here, when you know your relationship with yourself is healthy, and your energy is spent in creating the life that you want, not to feel better about who you are, but to experience just your creative ability. You need to experience your creative ability without the burden of having the end result mean something spectacular or make you feel like somebody. Emma was even teaching us that we just need to be a mathematician to be the best mathematician that you know how to be. Not to be a mathematician because I want to be a seat of honor over here at this university and I want to be over here. If you're going for that reason, you're going for the wrong reason of the world of effect. If you can go and be a mathematician just to be a mathematician and bring all your transcendent self within being a mathematician, all else will be added. You'll get those positions. You'll get everything. So you just have to understand if you bring that wholeness of what you are just for that sake of being creative, and it doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter if it's a mathematician or if you're flipping hamburgers at McDonald's. As long as you bring the transcendent self to you, it was even Raymond Charles Barker that somebody said, well, I'm just flipping burgers at McDonald's. And Raymond Charles Barker, he's the minister of the New York Church of Religious Science for many years. He's since passed away. But he was like, I don't care what it is over here as far as judgment or approval. Are you the best hamburger flipper there is? Are you the best there is? Barker was saying, reach for your transcendent self. Show up with that. So when you know you're sacred now, when you're comfortable in your skin color, when you know you are sacred now, you're comfortable with your background, when you know you're sacred now, you're comfortable with your nationality, your talents, your abilities, your sexual preference, your body, your financial status, because when you know you are sacred now, none of these things define you. They only define things about you, but they don't define you. When you know you're sacred now, you stop trying to impress people. You're sacred now. Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is within. Now. Now. What he is saying is there's a transcendent place within you that has never been made more by what you have done and less by what you haven't done. It's just sitting there right now. This is what Jesus meant when he said, which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his nature? You can't add a single cubit to your nature over here. Over here, it's 100% complete already. You can't do that. Nothing we can think, say, or do can add or subtract from what we intrinsically are, which is perfect, whole, and complete right now. So we need to embody this new idea of ourselves. And when I say embody, I don't mean just pay attention to it. I mean bring the personification of this particular area that you want to bring forward, your wholeness now, your completeness now. The original meaning of the word embody was give a body to, as in giving a body to an incarnating spirit. So to use this transcendent self, how do you move? How do I do that? If I embody the idea of prosperity, for instance, I am giving prosperity a body, a place in my mind and life. If, however, I embody the idea of lack, I am giving lack a body, a place in my mind and experience. The way to proceed is to embody only what you wish to experience. An example of this is when someone wants you to realize that you're always playing the role of a martyr. And so they're saying, David, you're always playing a role of a martyr. And actually, when I looked up the word in the dictionary, your picture was right there next to it on there. It might be interesting to think of God as having a personal dictionary too, but you know what? Behind every positive adjective, God has placed the picture of every person that's ever lived, is living now, or yet to live. That's in God's dictionary. But we don't get to experience God's dictionary. We only get to experience our own. Regardless of what God wants for us, we get to experience only what we have embodied. What are you embodying? If you were to look up the word success in your dictionary, would you see your picture next to it? If it's not there, it's because you have an incomplete definition of success. You haven't included yourself in it. How do you include yourself in the definition of success? How do you include yourself in the definition of healthy? How do you include yourself in the definition of prosperity? You haven't put your picture next to a quality of life that you wanted to experience. Put yourself there. Why is it up to you to put your picture in that dictionary? Because it's your dictionary. That's it. You haven't put your picture next to a quality of life that you were created to experience. It's up to you to put that picture in the dictionary because it's your dictionary, and you put it into the dictionary of your own mind, whatever you consciously or unconsciously identify with. So what is that picture? Maybe you haven't quite put the picture next to the word failure in your picture is there, but maybe you've put your picture next to the word disappointment. And why should we do this? It's the way that we see the part we play in life. Sometimes there are disappointments. Maybe we see ourselves as disappointing someone, like our parents or our spouse or our company. Sometimes we even disappoint ourselves. So does that mean in our dictionary we go ahead and we put our picture there next to that? If you want your picture to be next to the word success in your own mental dictionary, put it there. Put it there. And then start thinking of yourself as success regardless of where else in the dictionary your picture used to appear. Go ahead and say, this is what I am over here. This is starting to understand how to take that transcendent self out into the life out there. Maybe you're concerned because your picture doesn't appear next to success in your parents' dictionary, or your boss's dictionary, or your mate's dictionary. That doesn't matter. Where do you put it? Where do you put this picture? So embody what you want to show up in life. Put your picture next to the qualities of life you want to embody, not where they are now. Next, go ahead and put your picture next to the word healthy. Even if you're not healthy right now, put your picture next to the word healthy. Put your present picture of you, put the picture of life there. Not where you are in terms of money, but in the terms of universal abundance. That's the picture that you put there when you talk about money or abundance. So today, how do we live this passionate life? By passionately knowing your true self, your wholeness self. The next time you confront something you want to do, start by seeking the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of sacredness that you are right now. Start from that platform. Start by saying first that you are okay without the thing that you're even desiring. It doesn't matter how it turns out over there. Start off by saying that. It reminds you that you're bigger than anything else that can show up over here. Train yourself to develop the consciousness of what you are seeking. in his book, The Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, we've got Stephen Covey who does that. And I want to announce that Reverend Angela, you know, she works for that company and she teaches that class. And so for the month of March, on Thursdays in March, Reverend Angela for 4 weeks is doing The Seven Habits as the class for us there. But what Covey says is to start with the end in mind. Start with the end in mind. Start with your adequateness and then identify the end result of what you want to happen. Start that you're already complete. Start with you are equal to the need of the healthy body. You are equal to the need of prosperity. You are need to the equal of satisfying work. You are need to the equal of a good relationship. Then take on the nuances of that quality of life. So we say in this teaching, treat and move your feet. What we're saying is go ahead and announce all those things, announce from this platform, am I projecting myself out there in the world? But then the minute that you do that and say, and so it is, what's the very first footstep that you take out there? And those are the nuances of life that you need to go ahead and move your feet in that direction. Then the law of growth within you is going to do the rest. We don't have to manipulate or anything. It automatically flows over into our world of effect. Ernest Holmes says this in the Science of Mind text, man by thinking can bring into his experience whatsoever he desires if he thinks correctly and becomes the living embodiment of his desires. So if we think correctly about ourselves and embody that, that law of growth is going to come out over here. So how do we do this? Raymond Charles Barker, the minister of that New York church, said, successful people think about success. Successful people think about success. They don't think of lack or failure, etc. They think of success. Healthy people think about health, not where they are now in their bodies. So remember, life in you is bigger than the experience you're having, be it sickness or financial lack, loneliness or unemployment. And because it's bigger, because it transcends the world of experience, you're in a position to change that this very minute. So change it by being passionate with your sacred self, your transcendent self. And when you know that sacred transcendent self, you can proclaim great balls of fire for every endeavor you're setting out to change or take. So before going to that work or job interview, exclaim great balls of fire. Before going to the doctor, exclaim great balls of fire. Before going to the bank or meeting with your financial advisor, what do you exclaim? Great balls of fire. Because when you know this part of you and you're so passionate in knowing it, it's going to shake your nerves and rattle your brain. Because goodness gracious, it is wonderful, and so are you, and so it is. Thank you, guys. Let's stand out there. Let's understand what Rumi's talking about. Let us take off our coats and let us be married to this love. Let us kiss with light. What does all that mean? It means letting go of the world of effect and coming over here into the realm of cause. And in that realm of cause is wholeness. It's our sacred self. It's our transcendent life with transcendent power. And when we step there, we understand truly what our lives are all about. When we step into that transcendent being of each one of us, it's not something that comes at a later time when we take another class or come to another Sunday service. It is right now. Just by the fact of every single one of us being alive, do we have the power of the universe at our disposal? Yes, the opportunity of life is ready to express through every single one of us. Let's start believing in it. Let's start acting like it. Let's start launching ourselves from the platform of this greater understanding of ourselves and let go of the smaller ideas that other people have of us or the platforms where we thought that we needed to launch from all the world of effect places. We let go of all of that. That is not the truth of us. The truth of us is this transcendent self, this sacred self, this complete being that is there within each one of us right this very minute. It's from that place that I launch my personal health. It is from that place that I announce the the creativity and the career that I have. It is from that place that I announce the prosperity of the universe as my prosperity. It is from that place that I launch a love greater than any love I've had on the World of Effects side and launch it from there. Something changes. Something happens. We turn the paintbrush over to God. God just paints all outside the lines for all the things that we announce. We let that happen. We allow it to happen. Rather than trying to manipulate it on the World of Effects size and saying which colors need to be used and how they need to be used. We step into this transcendent power. Something happens. It's great. We give great thanks for this understanding. When we understand the truth of our being, we give great thanks for understanding this law. We give great thanks that yes, this transcendence is something within us right now. And I release my word to law knowing that when I walk out of these doors 5 minutes from now, that transcendent life is already mine. I stop comparing myself to everything that's out there and what other cars people are driving or what other jobs people may have. That is nothing to me. What is something to me is life. Life. Waiting to become something new right this very minute when we announce it. So we announce it more often. We announce that for all of our endeavors. And this is the truth for each one of us. And so it is.